Welcome to the full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is so in Tracy recording. And it is 8:49 p.m. and that is London time. And today is November 23rd. Well, gold today was up about $9, and certainly putting in some support in the region of the October high. So this is at least some early conviction that perhaps we are in more than just some short-term steadying, and that perhaps we've seen a medium-term low. And the succession of one upside Q reversal, two upside Q reversals, and then a big upside downward dynamic, or excuse me, upward dynamic, and then follow through on the upside suggests that we have a peak of medium-term significance, and this is the next higher reaction low. And of course, this is very much tied to the performance of the dollar. So the dollar index was down a full point in here today. And when we think about that, it's all to do with the Fed minutes, where the Fed officials are talking about the potential that interest rates may not rise very much beyond 5.25. But I think the bigger picture here is that they're going to remain high for a prolonged period. That greatly increases the potential that there's going to be a recession. Now, what we've also seen in here today is that the S&P Global US Manufacturing PMI, excuse me, PMI is now below 50. Now, we're not going to have the next major reading from the PMI until December 1st. And that's going to be from the University of Michigan. But one of the defining characteristics of every single recession that has been posted is that the University of Michigan recession, or excuse me, consumer sentiment index goes below 50. It's not a necessary, or excuse me, it is a necessary condition for a recession. It's not like every time it goes below 50 results in a recession. But it is a necessary condition for a recession. And then we can think about the yield curve spread. Well, the yield curve spread being negative is certainly something that has corresponded with every single forward projection of a recession for decades. So it's down an additional 2 basis points. And despite this negativity and the clear potential that the dollar retreating and the yield curve continuing to contract, one would anticipate that perhaps the stock market might be in negative territory, but that wasn't the case at all. And the S&P 500 is in positive territory and pushing back up into a new recovery high and testing the region of the 200-day moving average. So this continues to be a recovery scenario. But in no way does it detract from the possibility that there's going to be a recession. So what we have right now is a recovery underway because investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the potential that the Federal Reserve is approaching the top of the interest rate cycle. They're not giving any credence whatsoever to the potential that corporate profits are going to underperform. But it's almost inevitable when you have manufacturing purchasing power starting to contract that is going to contribute to a greater sense of economic malaise. So the dollar is starting to pull back. The euro is recovering. The pound was up in a really quite dynamic manner in here today. But the euro is now firming in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it has quite clearly broken the downtrend that's been in evidence for more than 23 months. And the pound, which has been steadying below the 120 area, was up in really quite a dynamic manner in here today. So we're back above the 120 area and doing so in really quite a dynamic manner. So this is really very impressive action. It suggests that there is going to be plenty of demand for European assets as their currencies continue to appreciate versus the dollar. Their relative value becomes much more appetizing when the currency is appreciating. Their absolute valuations are considerably lower than what's available in Europe, and therefore they're going to be more attractive. So then let's just think about the FTSE 250. The defining characteristic of this decline that's been in place now for months is really about dollar strength and pound weakness. But the pound is firming and the FTSE 250 is firming. So steadying now in the region of the 200-day moving average and potentially pushing up through the 1,000-day moving average. That would certainly help to enforce the potential that the UK is set to counter, extend the counter trend rally. When we think about what is likely here, if the dollar continues lower, then gold should continue to appreciate. And certainly silver was in really quite impressive territory on the upside in here today. So, silver continuing to lead on the upside. And we're in the second psychological perception stage of the precious metal bull market, and that would suggest that silver will continue to outperform. And it was up 52 cents in here today and firming from the region of the 200-day moving average. I remain very much of the view that despite the volatility, despite the fact that the price pulled back into the underlying range, it did not break a midpoint danger line, and that this continues to look like a recovery and a first step above the base. Well, if that is in fact the correct conclusion, then it's not at all unreasonable that we should anticipate that silver will take out the $30 level on the next bull run. So it that really is all down to how the dollar performs. But what we're also seeing is that copper prices are really under pressure in here. So when we think about what's going on, well, copper has pulled back from the $4 area and is steadying in the 350 area, and was barely steady in here today, despite the fact that the spread of the coronavirus in China is a significant issue. And they don't have a clear answer for how they're going to deal with that problem. Are they going to let it run riot? And what will that do to the credibility of the government? Or are they going to try and curtail the spread, which really only delays the eventual spread? It's impossible to avoid the spread of the virus when just about everywhere else in the world has experienced an uncontrollable spread of the disease. And the challenge, of course, is that copper is representative of the entire economy. And then the question, of course, is whether copper can really recover if we're going to have a real threat to growth from large numbers of people contracting the coronavirus. Then oil prices were in negative territory in here today. Europe is talking about their prospects for a significant hedge on the oil price, or a cap on the oil price, I should say. So prices today were down $3.67, pulling back from the $90 area. So that is sustaining the breakdown and obviating the rebound from the intraday low that we saw 3 days ago. So now we've seen a clear breakdown from that range. We're entering a more volatile period for oil prices overall. And now the big question is, at what point will prices find support? So that's obviously something that investors are going to be paying serious attention to. And I think that we have to bear in mind that it's really a question of supply and demand. And if the economy, global economy, is slowing down, then demand for oil should also fall. And that is removing a significant support from the market. This is a meaningful breakdown that is also likely to result in deflationary forces gaining credence. So when we think about the 10-year yield, it was down 6 basis points and continuing to contract from the peak that was put in last month. So this continues to look like a significant peak. It's a point that I've made on successive occasions in the long-term audio that when quantitative tightening begins, you see yields rise. We've seen that now, but ultimately yields contract in a very significant manner because quantitative tightening is deflationary. And that's why the dollar is starting to roll over. It's why gold is starting to pick up. It's why emerging markets and European equities are starting to return to dominance, because it's more likely than not that 10-year yields are going to roll over, and that we could see a meaningful contraction in those yields, and that would lend some support to risk assets overall. Well, when we then think about the Nasdaq, it's loaded with large cap companies, mega cap companies, and the prospect of lower interest rates is certainly a boon. So the wider stock market is continuing to advance, and the Nasdaq was up 113 basis or 113 points in here today, and it looks like a higher reaction low has now been posted. So we're still not quite unwinding the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. But I think what's more important right now is that a recession in the USA is absolutely inevitable. It's quite normal after the initial inversion that stock markets should rally, and that's exactly what we're seeing right now. We're seeing liquidity conditions starting to tighten, and also that liquidity issues are picking up in the perpetual bond market, in the cryptocurrency market, and in the UK pension market. Those are all examples of liquidity conditions turning sour. So now the big question is, how sustainable is this rebound in the stock market? And we are at least going to push back up into the region of the 200-day moving average. But then the question, of course, is going to be, is it going to be able to sustain a move up and through it? Even if it is, it doesn't obviate the potential that there's going to be a recession, and that I still think that it is more likely than not that we're going to be in a sell the rallies environment for the foreseeable future. I think with that, I'll leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.